Amen. Thank you, Stacy. Take your Bibles, open them to John chapter 14. We're going to kind of go through this chapter. I love the way it starts. I have used this same passage in probably 99% of the funerals that I've done over the years. I always read it. Many times I've read this passage in the hospitals as someone is expected to go on to heaven. And I've read this passage of Scripture to them over and over again, many times read it myself for comfort. I know when my parents died, I preached their funerals. I read this, my grandparents the same, because it is just a powerful, powerful passage of Scripture. I call your attention. I've never preached on what I'm going to preach on in reference to this passage, and it's something God just really laid on my heart. You'll notice in chapter 14, verse 1, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God. Believe also in me." In verse 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." We often look at this as God saying, "Now I will be glad to give you comfort if you want it. I'll be glad to take care of the trouble if you want it." But I want to key on two words in verse 27 and verse 1. Those two words are "let not." Let not your heart be troubled. Father, I pray that you will bless the preaching, that you'll speak to our hearts. I pray that you'll help us today with this truth from the Word of God. I pray we will look at this different. Lord, this is a comforting passage. You have used it many, many times in my life, God, to comfort me and to help me. And Lord, I've used it many, many times to try to help comfort people with it. And now I pray that you'll help us to see exactly what you're saying here. In Jesus' name, amen. Let not your heart be troubled. I was reading this recently and it hit me. This is a command of God. This is a command every bit as much as any of the commandments in the Bible. We talk about the Ten Commandments. We say, "Well, you know, I'm keeping the Ten Commandments." Well, are you keeping this commandment? Let not your heart be troubled. Oh, you say, "Preacher, you don't understand. I have no control." Oh, yeah, if God says, "Let not," you have control. If God says that we are to do something, we're able to do it, or he would never tell us. Look, if God says not to do something, we're able not to do it, if he says that. Now you know, we'll talk about the commandments of God, and we'll say, "Okay, you know, we are able to do that, and we ought to do that." And how about this? Let not your heart be troubled. This indicates that we have a choice in the matter. Yeah, it's funny how we don't think we do. We think, "Well, this is just normal for me to worry. It's normal for me to fret." I mean, that's what a troubled heart does. A troubled heart is concerned about things and worries and stays up all night thinking about everything and everything like that. And we're concerned about this and concerned about that. You know, I'm frustrated with folks now when we start talking about the election. You know, Christian people, it's like, "Oh, it's all over." It isn't over. Do not have a troubled heart, he says. Let not your heart be troubled. That's a command of God. It's a command of God like a command to tithe. It's a command of God like a command to be in church. It's a command of God like putting God first and loving God and having no other gods before him. It is a command of God Almighty. He says it two times in chapter 14. By the way, isn't it interesting? Chapter 14 comes right before chapter 15, abiding in Christ. I'm going to tell you, you're not going to abide in Christ if you're disobeying God. We will not do it. And let not your... You say, "Yeah, but it's not the same as God saying, thou shalt not steal." Same thing. Same thing. "Well, yeah, but that's not the same as saying, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife." Same thing. Same thing. Let not your heart be troubled. Causing your heart to be troubled, then get rid of sin. Amen. If sorrow is causing your heart to be troubled, then get over the sorrow and get the heart right with God. If the election is causing your heart to be troubled, then trust God, believe God, know that God is still on the throne. If it's money, if it's whatever it is, the cure is going to be, God has an answer for this thing. I need to trust him. God has it under control. I need to put it in God's hands. Let not your heart be troubled. And boy, this is good stuff. And he tells us all about it in John chapter 14. Let's just go through this. Let me show you some things. Number one, Number one, we have a new home. You know, why in the world would we have a troubled heart? Oh, everything's going bad. My house is falling apart. Praise God. You're going to live in your house maybe another 20, 30 years. Who knows? You know, I don't know what it's going to be. And you'll need to replace a roof. And you'll need to replace a furnace. And you'll need to replace this and that. But guess what? God has a new home for you. That's what he says here. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And we're not talking about just a home. We're talking about a mansion. Amen. We're not talking about just a place to live. We're not talking about a little cabin in the corner of glory like some, you know, like the songwriter said. Hey, phooey on that stuff. We're talking about a mansion. We have a new home, God said. All right, so we're stuck here, you know, on this earth, suffering in our homes. By the way, everybody here, I guarantee you have a nicer home than folks in many, many countries do. You have a nicer home than most people in the world have. I mean, we have homes that you know, okay, well, my place is a dump. Your dump would be a mansion to somebody in a foreign country. And we you know, God has a new home for us. I love the song, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." Amen. And some of us get our minds and our eyes on everything on this world, and our troubles get to us. God says, "Let not your heart be troubled. I got a new home for you." But weren't you excited when you moved into your new home? You know, you had a home, and the plans were made. Maybe you went and looked at it and said, "Oh, if we could buy this house, that'd be wonderful." And you went to the bank, and you talked to the bank, and they were, you know, they had a plan for you, and everything was all worked out, and you're ready to move in that new home. I got news for you. The mansion God has prepared for us, we can't even begin to imagine what it's like. We can't even begin. Whatever your new home had in it, you say, "Well, we got 4 bedrooms. Praise God, your mansion. Who knows how many you'll have?" And you won't even need them. You may just have one great big bedroom as big as this room. Who knows? I don't know what it's going to be like. I just know it's a mansion, and it's in his Father's house, and it ain't going to be junk. It's his Father's house. He says, "It's in my Father's house are many mansions." That's how he can say, "Let not your heart be troubled." We're too focused on our roots here. You need to uproot a little bit here and quit being so attached to this old world. Quit being so attached to the worldly things that have got you down and got you discouraged. You know, the truth of the matter is, let not your heart be troubled. Can I just mention to you something? I'm going to, whether you give me permission or not. But you know what? The opposite of let not your heart be troubled is to let your heart be troubled. All right, go ahead. You know, go ahead. Let your heart be troubled. Well, I am. I can tell. We see it on your face. You are letting your heart be troubled. Yeah, we can tell. You haven't slept. There's the raccoon eyes, you know. Hello? You can tell. Let your heart be troubled. Okay, go ahead. Let your heart be troubled. Nothing's going right. That's because you're troubled. Your heart's troubled. That's because you have let your heart be troubled. If God says, "Let it not be troubled," then you can win. You can do it. You can do exactly what he said. Number one, we have a new home. I got something better for you. Good night. I'm skipping all kinds of stuff. I can't believe it. Number two, there will be a homecoming. Oh, man, I'll tell you, what in the world are we so down about? Homecoming. Oh, it's going to be so exciting. How many of you have somebody in heaven right now that you love? Look at all the hands. Look around. Everybody look around. This is a good chance. Somebody in heaven you love. Now, you think about that person. And guess what? One of these days, if you're saved, you're going to see them again. Good night. I got a lot of people there. I mean, there's a whole bunch of folks there. I mean, there's people there's family members there. Mom and dad are there. Grandma and grandpa's there. I got best friends that are there. I mean, I've got people I pastored that are there. I've got some deacons. Well, that's a bad thing. No, I got some men that were deacons that I love dearly, and they're there. Are you listening to me? And you do too, and it's going to be exciting. Brother Collins and I were talking earlier about our dads and very similar stories, his and mine. And every Sunday, Brother Collins and I give each other verses, and you know, it's our way of preaching to each other. And we give each other verses, and they're usually verses about God's power, something to encourage us. And he made the comment. He said, "Yeah, you know, our dads are probably watching us give those verses to each other today." Boy, that's exciting to me just thinking about that, and just thinking about heaven. There's a homecoming. I mean, there is going to be a homecoming where we all get together. Notice what it says in verse 3. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Guess where that is? It's in my Father's house, he said. That's a good place. You got a mansion there, and the mansion's big enough, everybody can get together. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I mean, now my family never was much on family reunions. We just never got together that much. Every now and then, we would have the right family reunion. That would be on my grandmother's side. And when I was real little, we'd get together, and Grandma was so excited about that. You know, just seeing all the relatives and all the cousins and everybody else. Women like stuff like that, I think, more than men do. Yeah, fellas are scared to say amen on that one. But in heaven, it's going to be exciting. It's not just family reunion. It's going to be Christian reunion, because we're all Christians, amen? And it's going to be missionary reunion. You know, we've helped support the dioceses in Namibia, and we're going to meet Namibians when we get there. And they're going to come up, and Kunta Kinte is going to come up and tell me, thank you so much for supporting the dioceses, because they led me to the Lord. And I'm going to sit there and say, woohoo, I like that. And you say, oh yeah, but you don't understand, my flowers died. Well, just go plant new flowers, amen. Oh, my fish died. Let it float. Flush it down the toilet, get a new one, and let's go on. Glory to God. Let not, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Quit worrying about the election. Quit worrying about money. Quit worrying about all the sorrow. Oh, nothing's going right for me. Listen, we have a home in heaven, brand new. Guess what? It's always brand new. How do you like that? Amen. You know how your house, I'm going back to point one. I'm going to do that, so allow me. You know how your house, things start to deteriorate? It isn't going to in heaven. Amen. You know in the bathroom when with all the steam and everything from the shower and what's that called, the stuff you put around the side, pretty stuff that's not really necessary? Border. That's it. It's all curling. You know how that does? In heaven, that border all stays the same. Amen? It's just always perfect. Baseboard's always perfect. Everything's just always perfect. It's always a new home. Are you listening? Always a new home. I mean, the cabinets are always nice. Floors are always nice. There's never any nasty in your new home. Oh, isn't that good? And the homecoming, everybody's having a good time. There's eating. Glory to God. There's no calories. There's no carbs. There's no sugar. There's no nothing like that. It's just all good. You just eat and fellowship and have a good time. Amen. Oh, listen to me. Let not. That's why he said let not. That's how he could say it. Come on, Christian. Get your head out of the world and get it up in the heavenlies where Paul lived much of his life. And understand that there is something better coming. And it's going to be for a whole lot longer time. Over this last year, I just haven't felt good. Well, I understand you're not feeling good, but just rejoice in the Lord anyway. Let not your heart be troubled. We have a new home. There will be a homecoming. Number three, notice what it says here. There is hope. Look at verse 12. I love this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. There is hope. Hey, when you go, Brother Click, when you go hunting, wouldn't you like to have a guarantee? Wouldn't that be good? I mean, some of you folks go fishing. Wouldn't you like to have a guarantee? You know, guarantee. Here's what you're going to catch. No doubt about it. Now, I mean, you still have to do it. And you still have to hunt. I still don't think it's fair. The deer don't have guns. But but if you had a guarantee, you know, I mean, how many times have I gone fishing and ended up with nothing? You know, I mean, you watch the bobber and it's just there. The only bobbing it does is if a little ripple hits it, you know. I mean, there's nothing. You think, oh, what a waste of time. Hey, listen to me. I like a guarantee to be all right. Guess what? The hope that God gives us, there's a guarantee. What's he say here? He says, greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. He said, there is hope for you. It is not all bad. It is not all terrible. It is not all hopeless. He said, there is hope. That's how he can say, let not your heart be troubled. Amen. I mean, you know, he guarantees greater works than he did. How? We work through him. And the Holy Spirit empowers us. Greater results. And so much of this is untapped by most Christians because we're not obeying what he said. Let not your heart be troubled. Do you know what that takes? It takes faith. It takes faith that it is going to get better. It takes faith that God is on the throne. Oh, you say, how in the world? If that one guy is elected, I got to be careful because I want to keep our tax exemption. But if that one guy is elected, how are we going to make it? I mean, we're going to be in, what in the world is wrong with you? I mean, I'm not excited about it. I kind of think, you know, it amazes me how Sunday morning, how blind people can be. And yet they're blind spiritually, so they might as well be blind politically too. Did you know politics is a spiritual thing? It's okay. Romans 13 is in the Bible. Amen. There's hope. Greater works. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And we get bent out of shape over an election. And we get bent out of shape over some little trouble in our lives. Greater works, he said. That's how he can say, let not your heart be troubled. Because he knows there's hope. He's given us that hope. Now, what are you going to do with that hope? You going to believe him? Or are you going to you're going to do the opposite of what he commanded in verse 1 and verse 27? Let not your heart be troubled, or the sound of so many today, let your heart be troubled.
Let my heart be troubled.
Go ahead. Just go ahead. I got news for you. There's hope. It may be bad. It may seem bad. It may, you know, Michigan's economy. It just may seem terrible. But I got news for you. My God is on the throne. He is on the throne. And by the way, some of you folks, many of you have been through much harder times than it is today. And you made it. You made it. Why? Because he is on the throne. Certainly, adults should never give the idea to young people, oh, what are we going to do? Grow up! Obey God! Let not your heart be troubled. Oh, there is hope. Number 4, God provides help. Verse 13, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You know, God wants some glory out of our lives. Amen. If we will just glorify him, he's got plenty of help available. And it's amazing how we miss all this stuff. It's amazing how we miss the fact that you know, God wants to bless Berean Baptist Church. God wants to use it. He wants us to be a lighthouse for souls to be saved. He wants that. Why are we the one? Why do we get the idea sometimes, well, we're the only ones that care? He cares. He wants to help us to be whatever we're supposed to be. Somebody needs to be in Lenawee County. Somebody needs to reach all the souls in this county. Are you listening? Somebody needs to reach the drug addicts and the alcoholics. Somebody needs to reach the people in jail. Somebody needs to reach the people in the nursing homes. Somebody needs to reach the rich people out here on the west side. Somebody needs to knock on their door. Somebody needs to run buses and pick up all the kids. Don't you agree? You suppose God would help us? Oh, it's just so bad. It's not so bad. He's ready to help us if we want him to. He's ready to help us. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. His name, Philippians 2:9 says his name is above every name. It's above every name, in his name. Amen. What? Why? You know, okay. But you'd rather let your heart be troubled, so now he's left out of the picture. So now, all right, I just would rather be sad and sorrowful and whine and gripe. I'd rather be down, discouraged. I'd rather weep. I'd rather do all these things. Let not, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Number 5, he tells us how we can make it. How can I do this? How can I make it, preacher? It's so easy. Verse 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. You say, well, preacher, you don't understand. I mean, no, he commanded us. He commanded us, let not your heart be troubled. He told us not to have a troubled heart. That doesn't mean we're not going to have sorrow. That doesn't mean we're not going to shed some tears. That doesn't mean we're not going to have hard times. It just means don't worry about stuff. Don't get burdened over these things. Well, how can I obey that commandment? Love him. If you love me, keep my commandments. That verse, I'm telling you, that verse will change your life over and over and over again. I've watched people who have said, I don't know how I can obey. I'll tell you how you can obey. Love him. I'll tell you how to obey. Love God. That's how you obey. Well, you say, preacher, I love him. No, if you love him, you'll keep his commandments. I didn't say it. He said it. And he also goes on and he says, and my commandments are not grievous. When you love him, his commandments are not grievous. I can't believe they want me to do that. I can't believe God would want me to do that. I can't believe God. No, wait. If you love God, you'd never say that. You'd never have that attitude if you love him. If you love me, keep my commandments. And the way we can do that, the way I can let not my heart be troubled. You say, preacher, you got it so good. I've got more trouble than most of you have ever even thought about. Hello? You have no idea. You say, well, my wife, for example, I mean, I've had, there have been doctors say to her, you're not telling the truth, you're not really in pain because you're too smiley. That is such hogwash. We're trying to be good Christians, and we have more trouble, and there's people in this room that have more trouble. You just don't know about it because they don't tell everybody because they're obeying God. They're letting not their heart be troubled. Hello? I'm going to tell you, some of the most joyful people in this room right here, you would have no clue what's going on in their life because they're obeying God. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not, let not, let not, let not, let not. That's God's command. And if I'm going to obey that command, I've got to love him. Otherwise, I won't obey it, and I'll just let my heart be troubled, and I'll be a terrible testimony for the cause of Christ. I'm going to talk about this tonight. It ties in very well with Nehemiah chapter 2. The reason a wife rubs her husband back at 2 o'clock in the morning. That's love. That's how she can do something like that. My wife, many times, she's rubbed my back. She's tried to help me with tension and pressure. She does that. Why? Because she loves me. The reason a husband will sit in at Sears or stand and wait while she tries on 40 different outfits, that's love. Honestly, I don't know how many times we've done it. I'll walk in the store, I'll find a suit, I'll take it, I'll try it on, I'll buy it, she'll try on, and this has been a long time ago because we don't do this a lot because she doesn't want me to have to wait. But then she'll try on. I mean, she'll go to all these different stores, go back to the first one, get the first thing she tried on. That's that way in every household. I don't know why it's like that, but that's the way it is. But why do we do that? Because of love, that's why. It's really not that big a deal. The reason parents sacrifice to give a child a Christian education is love. You'd be amazed what you could do if you loved God. It's getting quiet. Huh? The reason Jesus died on the cross, do you understand? That was love. The reason that all winter long we've had people out here starting up our buses when it's very, very cold outside. And cleaning off the windshield and going out there walking through the snow, I watch them. And the reason they do that is because they love. You'd be amazed what you could do with love. You'd be amazed how you'd act with love. He said the reason we obey him is love. And the reason you don't obey him is lack of love. The reason Calvin Cook this week on Monday had his wisdom teeth pulled out. Bad experience. He's an old man. And they have become very, very, very entrenched in his jaw. And he did not have a good day Monday. And he did not have a good day any day this week that I know of. Now, just don't even look at me and just leave me alone. His tongue has been swollen, has been numb and swollen all week long, and yet three basketball games. He made sure uniforms were washed, made sure everything was on the bus, made sure everything was taken care of, made sure games could be played, made sure we had... Are you listening to me? Made sure all this was taken care of. I told him, I said, you don't even have to go to the game. You don't even have to go. I know you don't feel good. I know it hurts. I know you're in pain. I know you're having a hard time. And besides all that, he couldn't talk white. He said from the sideline, he said, "Both out, fellas, both out." Congratulations, fellas, we won. I mean, but now why? Why does he do that? It's because of love. It's not helping his resume. I have had several colleges call me. The pros have been asking about coaching, but you gotta, do you understand? It's love. That's why you do these things. And that's how you can let not your heart be troubled. Do you know what an insult it is to God when we are worried about everything? Do you know how it insults God Almighty when we worry? Now, I'm not talking about, you know, the initial thought of something and the initial concern about different things. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that are actually fretting and worrying over things, having a troubled heart like that. It's an insult to God Almighty. It's an insult. I mean, it is an insult. I know my big concern with my wife, and we have had so many things happen, and financial things, and one thing I have never, never, never accepted is her to worry about finances in our home. I don't handle that well. I don't want her to worry about a thing. I don't want her to fret about anything. I want her to know that everything is always all right, even if it may not look like it is. I'm going to tell you something, folks. God, everything is all right. He's God. I mean, honestly, you know, remember when your kids thought everything was perfect? You can take care of anything? You know, oh, tornado coming. That's all right. My dad's home. You know, thank God those kids believe that way. Now, you and I know we can't wrestle tornadoes. But I got news for you. God can. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Let me add something to that. Number six, he gives us the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, I'll pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. He'll never leave us or forsake us. What in the world are we worried about? Well, I'm just all alone. Then you don't believe God. You are not all alone. In fact, I love the song, "No, Never Alone, No, Never Alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone." We're never alone. I sing it all the time. I'm never alone. Amen. You say, yeah, well, you're surrounded by people all the time. You'd just be amazed. You would just be amazed. But I don't have to have people around me all the time. I've got him. Amen. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. Don't believe the charismaniacs. They don't know what they're talking about. You say, well, I saw on some channel, I saw where some preacher said, don't watch that stuff. Just stay away from that stuff. If they're telling you, you've got to do this and you got to do that in order to have the Holy Spirit, here's what you need to do. Call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you, and he comes in. And he lives. And he says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Notice what it says in verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth. There's comfort in truth. There is comfort in truth. Bible says, ye shall know the truth. The truth shall set you free. That's comforting. I mean, most of the world is worried about this and worried about that. And everything's going wrong. And the fact of the matter is, If you really think about that, they don't have the truth. No wonder they're worried. I got the truth. Look, I've read the end of the book. We win. I've read it. I just read to you in John chapter 14. We have a new home. Amen. Oh, they're going to repossess my home. Well, glory to God. For eternity, you're going to live in a mansion. By the way, everybody here has a roof over their head. I told you, I went Flint, Michigan. I mean, when I first went there, I had no, you know, the UAW meant nothing to me until I went to Flint, Michigan. And it all of a sudden, I mean, reality hit. I mean, we had a layoff every 5 minutes. Then they really did have a layoff. And guess what? People only made 95% of what they were making for sitting at home. I started calculating. Now, if I made 95% of what I could just do nothing, I wonder how bad that would be. I guess I'd whine and gripe and complain too. Hello? I'm not, you know, I know there's some folks, they're running out. And it's tough. But guess what? There is a God in heaven. He's, you know, everybody, nobody here looks like they're starving. Some of you look like you've got a lot of years before you'll starve. You got some time. You can live off of the resources God has implanted upon you. I'm just saying, and I know, I can live a while without food. The comforter, there's comfort in truth, truth. See, the truth, that's what it is, the truth. Truth is, he's God. Truth is, my God shall supply all your needs. Not just some of, he supplies all of our needs, amen? That's the truth. And you know what? There's comfort in that. And verse 26 tells me a little more about the Holy Spirit. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance. Isn't that comforting as we get older? He brings all things to your remembrance. Well, the things that really matter, I guess. I'll tell you, it's amazing. People say, "Preacher, do you remember?" It bothers me, people, to remember things from 25 years ago. Yeah, I remember 25 years ago. And people come up to me and they say, "Yeah, I remember you said this last week, and I don't remember yesterday." All I remember is Kelvin in the huddle saying, "Box out, box out." But I'll never forget that. But you know what? He brings everything to remembrance that has to be there. And he's my guide. He's my comforter. Amen. Number seven, he is our haven. Oh, I love the songs about peace today. Opener was about peace. The choir sang about peace. Verse 27, notice what it says here. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. It's not just peace. It's his peace. Amen. That's so good. That's talking about being able to sleep without worry. Amen. Let not your heart be troubled. Amen. It's being able to, now again, you may have some physical problem or something like that keeps you from sleep. I understand that. And I've learned. I've had those things happen where you just can't sleep. And it's not a matter of worry. It's a matter of maybe some kind of a problem or something like that. And it may be just a matter of God woke you up so you'd pray. That's all right, too. I got news for you. There is no rest in sin. There is peace. Peace in the Lord. He is our haven. He is our peace. The world gives worry. The world gives pain. The world gives sorrow. I'm telling you, the world does all these things. Do you understand? I've never had to counsel anybody about what to do who is doing right, and they have peace. They don't come in and say, "What am I going to do? I have peace." They don't do that. You know who comes in? It's people that have sinned. And because of that sin, there's all kinds of repercussions. Are you listening? And their life is a mess. And because of sin and because of those kind of things, or because of a lack of trusting God, they've worried themselves sick about everything and things that really don't even matter. And that is the focus of their life. That is so many times over the years of pastoring. That's what we're trying to get them out of. God gives peace. Abide in him. It'll be very peaceful in him. It doesn't matter what's going on all around. He gives peace. He is our haven. That's how he can say, let not your heart be troubled. But see, when is the last time you did what he said? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me. Well, I prayed about it. No. Come unto me. Amen. That's how he says, let not your heart be troubled. The last thing, God promises happiness. Verse 28, ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice. Because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Oh, let me tell you something. God has, now I put happiness here because it starts with an H, and what I really mean is joy. You know, I had to keep the outline right. But he promises that for us. He promises that. Isn't it great to smile? Some of you, I'm so concerned. And I mean that. I'm not being unkind. It breaks my heart when I see people just so down. So down. I mean, I can understand, you know, your goldfish died and that'll affect you for a second. I understand things happening and it being kind of a tough thing, but there's always, always reason to smile. There's always reason to be excited. I'm so excited today I can't hardly stand. It has nothing to do with winning a basketball game. Nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with what I'm preaching on tonight. I'm so excited about it. Been excited about it all week. Honestly. You know, I mean, through the week, you say, I bet you spent a lot of time on the, you know, the basketball. I spent some time, but most of the time I've been in Nehemiah chapter 2. Really excited about that. Now, I tied it in with a 1-3-1 zone. You know, I had Nehemiah out there playing a little box and one and that. But, you know, sometimes that mixed up and boxing out and stuff like that. But you have to understand that it is so real to me that God, he wants me to be absolutely thrilled with life. And I really am thrilled. You know, rejoice. Jesus is with his Father. And he said, I go to prepare a place for you. That's what he's doing. Are you listening? He's preparing a place. And it's going to be better than anything we could prepare. You know, we always think, I got this thing figured out, and here's what I want, and I need this. And he always knows what's best. He always knows what's going to please us and what's going to thrill us. I said this in Sunday school, and now I'm getting myself in big trouble because I'm going off on rabbit trails. But we talk about these young people when somebody breaks up with them. You know, oh, I'm going to die. I can't make it. I'll never live. It's over, you know. And see, we all know that's not true. We know it's not true. You know, I think about the girls that I dated when I was younger, and they dumped me. I know you can't even begin to believe that. But they did. And you know, to this day, I thank God they did. Oh, Donna. I cried. I cried for weeks over Donna. She's not even close to what God gave me. Are you listening to me? Oh, I don't know if I'm going to make it through. Why don't you just trust God? God's got this thing all figured out. He knows you better than you know you. He knows what you need better than you know what you need. You know what you think you like, but he knows what you really like. And so I'll tell a young person, they'll say, oh, they dumped me. And I'll say, man, you need to praise God. What? Don't you understand, preacher? You don't care. I said, no. Don't you understand? If they dumped you, that means for however good they were, God has something. I know you don't see it now, but see, that's where we trust God. That's where we just have to believe him. Because I got news for you. He's got this thing figured out. And he commanded, I said, folks, he commanded us, let not your heart be troubled. And so what is my way of obedience? I need to love him. And if I love him, I will not let this heart be troubled. And you shouldn't let your heart be troubled either. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are